Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Hello and welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks. I'm in Missoula, Montana, again. Last time I was here for my friend's bachelor party. This time it was for the wedding.
Good wedding?
It was a great wedding. It was, it's a funny thing about Montana, where you live. Incidentally, to my right is my father, Jim Fairbanks, who will be my co-host and also my guest at the same time. It's a double job. Not one guy didn't cry during this wedding. I watched all my friends tear up and be consoled by their...
Oh, everybody cried. Not one guy didn't. Double negative there.
Every single...
Not one guy didn't.
Not one man didn't not cry. And then they're solid as a rock. Spouses and girlfriends consoled them with dry eyes.
Wow.
Sensitive men in this part of the country. That was my... I've only done one experiment.
We have soft men with a hard exterior, maybe?
Perhaps. Yeah. It was, but not really. I mean, yeah, I guess my friends don't go around telling their feelings to each other. So, everyone really was affected by all the things my friend Ross had in his vows to his wife and to his parents, opening up like that and then seeing him cry, every guy. It was like watching, the movie where they kill the dog or a cowboy rides off? I don't know.
Shane
or the champ.
Come back, Shane.
The kind of thing that makes men cry. Or you and I used to watch Highway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
The cheesiest show ever with Michael Landon.
I'll tell you one day, the older you get, the more likely you are to cry. I cry at supermarket openings.
Yeah,
any kind of event, I tear up.
Just a business opening.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that, what they're selling. It's so new.
They put their money together, found a location.
So are we going to have time to get some plumbing before we go to the airport?
Yes. Yes.
And I have a question. If you're driving and we're dropping you off at the airport, I'm likely to be just sitting there in this seat.
At that point,
you will
have to make the decision to get out of the car and place yourself in the driver's seat.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll leave that up to you, because I'll be gone at that point.
So some weeks ago, I was watching my grandchildren, your nieces and nephew, because your sister was picking up another degree.
Yeah. She likes to just, you know... casually, nonchalantly pick up degrees.
Yes, she does. And I called home to see how things were going, and there was water pouring all over the lower level of the house.
Oh, terrific.
Pipe broke. Actually, the connection to the water softener, which I've since taken out. I found that I know enough about just about everything to get myself into trouble.
Just a little bit about everything.
Oh, I can do that. No, you can't. So I have to replace some old work. I took the water softener up, and we're going to pick up some, I think, some shark bites.
Shark bites,
shark
you say?
Bites. Shark bites are new plumbing things that don't require soldering. And they're just the best. You know, if you work with lumber, you cut something a quarter of a quarter of a quarter of an inch, and that's close enough. If it's plumbing, you're up to your knees in water.
And this is just water, not sewers. We're not talking shit water. Okay, good.
No, it's just water.
It's worse. It's much worse when it's shit water.
Oh, you recall me working on plumbing, I'm sure, when you were young.
I recall you renting a shop vac, and someone had cleaned a horse stable, except you got the impression it was human shit.
I did.
That came in this shop vac or
yeah, it was a rug shampooer.
Rug shampooer. God, that was
disgusting.
Rug
shampooers have hoses on them, and I hooked the thing up, and it wouldn't suck anything up, and I thought, wow. I'll stick a hose in there.
Yeah.
Squirt it all out. Hose was full of shit.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It was totally disgusting.
So, with this plumbing thing, you do all the soldering, you know how to do all that.
I do. I know how to try to do it.
You know how someone does it.
But I was, if there was any water, if you're making more, I was making four connections, connecting two copper pipes, so you need two elbows, and then so I have a connection, 1, 2, 3, 4 connections I had to solder, and I had to stretch my arms out, couldn't see it well, and if there's any water, they won't solder. So I did the old bread trick. That's where you take a piece of bread and shove it up in a pipe.
It has to be bread?
Bread. And it keeps the water from dripping. If you can't shut it off, you know, there's usually just a drip or two.
Sure.
You shove bread in there, and then when you turn the water on, the bread kind of dissolves and disappears. It's kind of a neat trick.
Okay, cool.
That, of course, didn't work. I couldn't get it done. And I had to get some shark bites.
Shark bites in skateboarding is when the skateboard hits your ankle. That's the only thing I know a shark bite to be. I did not know about the entire plumbing world.
Oh, it's marvelous stuff for hacks like me.
Because there's no threads, it just expands and
how. Right, you just have a smooth surface like on a copper pipe or a metal pipe or a plastic.
What makes it constrict then if you put it over a pipe?
It's just little seals, round seals, O-ring type seals. Okay. Works pretty good.
Well, terrific.
So I'll go get a bag full of those and take you to the airport.
And it is, you do it yourself. I did tell you about the time I went to a party at the Van Buren house and the college guys. There was some sort of a fire in the basement due to, they said, something electrical. And you did all the electrical in that basement. I'm not...
Oh, the house I used to own?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, one was hurt. But I... Josh and I went there, and I said, can I look around? My dad used to live here, went down to the basement, and the wall was black, and around that light.
One of those wall lights?
Yeah. I feel like, maybe someone threw it.
Could have been,
Kleenex or
Romex
something.
Romex and wire nuts aren't too complicated. Not that I couldn't do something wrong, but chances are it was just a picture that went tell me up about this.
Could be
the electrical police listening.
Oh, yes, they are
what
out
is
there.
The statute of limitations on.
You're fine.
Hack homeowner.
This was almost 10 years ago. So you're fine. They aren't going to come in. Are you going? Are people in school right now?
I don't know. It was a friendly college girl. School is going on right now.
Oh, okay.
And her first football game.
We're driving past the University of Montana, where I once went to school, graduated with some sort of fine arts degree. Drawing and painting. I did stand up recently, Dad, with this sketch group that was doing, the theme was cults, cult leaders and cult mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And they, at the end, drank a bunch of Kool-Aid like Jim Jones.
Yep.
You met him once when you did radio, right?
I did. I was quite impressed. The situation was, I was on talk radio, and we just, some hack just bought the radio station, and we went from middle-of-the-road personality-type radio, which is kind of what I did, and,
mm-hmm.
and we were doing talk, and I was okay at it, but it's difficult to start out to get listenership to respond routinely and call up, and so you have to have guests all the time. So I was always fighting to get interesting, provocative guests, and so reading the newspaper all the time. And Mayor Mouse County, some 20 miles away in San Francisco,
uh-huh.
had impaneled a committee to study whether or not the Bay Bridge, or not the Bay Bridge, but the Golden Gate Bridge should be restricted to no pedestrians. Yes, we have no pedestrians.
Because people were jumping off it?
People do jump off from time to time, every year or two. And
yeah.
No one ever survives.
No.
Or, you know, it's a rare thing, and, you know, you're eating out of a straw for the rest of your life. And so, so they put these people together, and I thought, well, let me call a couple of these people, and I tried two or three, and I got the Reverend Jones, and I knew a little about the People's Temple.
Right.
And this was a guy, and
you're not a religious person.
No, and I don't know that he was a religious person.
Oh, really?
You know, what this guy was a good old-fashioned communist. And I say that in the most embracing manner.
Yes.
That he worked with poor people, he cared about poor people, and he was tired of people with money not doing enough or not sharing enough, and he was tired of seeing people struggle. And quite often, if you're there every day, maybe communism appeals to you.
Yes.
So, and a lot of people that want to do good for people, at least in the beginning, gravitate toward religion because that's that added enticement for followers.
Right, right.
You know,
you're saving
them. We want to help people, but also God's out there and we all like Him.
Right? Yeah.
And so come on board. And I think that, you know, if you could talk to him now, which of course you can't, he would freely admit he was not that religious a guy, but he did a lot of good things. So he came to the radio station and we talked about his feelings about whether or not people should be walking across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me for money to help the people, I think it was the Tenderloin District is where he had his church.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. It was in
because he was hitting people up and got up. Actually, he was instrumental in getting Mayor Moscone elected.
Did you give him money?
I did give him money.
And you didn't have a lot of money?
I did not have a lot of money, but there are just people that do stuff for other people, and you get embarrassed occasionally and say, here.
Yeah.
Here's what I got.
You really,
gosh,
you
I
backed
was impressed
me.
With this guy.
You backed me into a corner. Here's a 20.
And if I met him today, even knowing what I did, I'd probably give him more.
Yeah.
Just because he was charismatic, and he was dedicated, and he cared about people whose dreams weren't coming.
It sounds like you don't even know that this is the guy that poisoned
900 people?
Yeah.
Well, I wish I knew who said this. And we were talking, this is the early 70s when I talked to him.
Right.
1970, 71, something like that, when I interviewed him. And his church was getting big. He was getting more and more people, but like a good commie, he wanted everybody to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And contribute till it hurt. And that meant sell your furniture hurt.
Right.
And by the way, that's a cute daughter you have.
In a creepy... Okay.
So, the phrase power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, it was played out in this guy's life so dramatically that the more influence he had, the more he wanted, and the more good he wanted to do, the more people he wanted to help, and the more people he wanted to control.
Yikes.
So...
Was he accused of sleeping with young kids?
Yeah, and little by little, stories started to surface, and people were writing exposés, those darn people that write exposés, okay, in the Chronicle. And
maybe he was religious then, because that seems to be where a lot of people hide from the fact that they get boners from children. Just a thought.
So, naturally, that district of San Francisco had a congressman, and his name was Leo Ryan. And I think congressmen should have a six-year term, because they're running constantly. They spend all of their time, they're worthless anyway, all of them, but they spend too much time running for office and raising money to get elected.
And you've said
raising
often...
Raising millions for this $180,000 a year job.
Right. Raising more money than they will earn at it.
Yeah, the Millionaires Club.
Yes.
Which is the U.S. Congress. So, if Congress were a six-year term, none of this may have happened. Right?
Right.
But Leo Ryan was trying to get elected, and he focused on People's Temple, I argue.
One, just because we're driving by it, right there at that point in the road, once we drove up here.
You and
I? Me and my friends, we were downtown. Matt had hit some kid in the face with a little bat.
Yikes.
And we drove up here. It was horrifying. We all drove up here, parked the cars in a semicircle, and Matt fought this guy in the street right there. This wrestler guy.
Good times.
And got his ass kicked and then shook his hand at the end like it was the 50s. And the guy was scared. He was so scared. He's like, why is this little guy not afraid of me? I'm going to beat him up, but he scares me. Anyway, so we passed that spot. So this congressman, what was it? Leo Ryan
was his name, and he made his re-election platform.
Let me let these baby deers cross.
Yes, look at the sweet deers.
That guy doesn't care.
No,
he's like, I'm gonna...
he says, could be the headlights.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, there, that phrase never made sense till now.
There we go.
A deer in headlights. I thought, well.
There we have it.
There we have it.
So, he had to get elected. You know, every 2 years you got to get elected, you got to have an issue, and his issue was the People's Temple and Jim Jones. So... more and more heat, and an investigative committee was put together by Leo Ryan, and all of this pressure convinced Jim Jones to leave San Francisco and go to northern South America.
Wow, they really must have been...
Guyana.
What was he investigating him doing? Money stuff? Or?
It was not only money, he was getting people to turn over their houses, but he was also accused of being the father of many of the
all
young children.
And, sure.
You know? Okay.
That creepy stuff.
It was creepy stuff.
Yeah.
So, he owned this property, Jim Jones, in Guyana, this little country in South America. And they all went down there.
A thousand people?
About 1,000 people, or 900 and some. And Leo Ryan ultimately followed them down. And he goes in...
with a gang of his thugs.
Well, no. There were some people from NBC News with him. And maybe a writer from the Chronicle.
That's when you really don't want to murder a congressman.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
The NBC News
when
is there.
The camera is on. So they go and they visit and they stay a while, and he convinces a handful of people to come back with him, like a dozen or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave the compound after being there a day or so nervously. 900 weird cult people, right?
Yeah.
And
purple Nikes.
At the airport, some people with automatic weapons from Jim Jones people kill a U.S. congressman and NBC News. Yeah, it was awful.
Why did they even have machine guns?
I don't know.
Bizarre.
I think you gotta have a machine gun, don't you?
And this guy seemed totally normal when you talked to him. That's
normal. He was impressive. He was engaged. He was devoted.
He
was a good guy, I thought.
And
but this was like 8 years later.
Do you think
this was 8 years later?
His cult people made the decision to kill this guy, or he commanded them to?
I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Hmm.
So anyway, when he found out, and he did find out, then that's when he mixed poison, you know, cyanide,
arsenic,
yeah,
old lace.
Right. Some bad stuff in Flavor Aid.
Wow.
It was Flavor Aid.
It wasn't even...
But that's where Kool-Aid? That's where Drink the Kool-Aid came from.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid that came from Jones.
And then you can go, well, actually, technically, it was Flavor Aid, a generic version.
Yeah, what?
Grape.
A cheaper version.
Yes.
The grape wasn't near as good. But it was a horrible thing. 900 people were forced to drink that. He had a couple of bullet holes in him. Either he had somebody shoot him or he committed suicide.
Oh.
Jim Jones.
Wow.
There were 300 children.
Well, I've seen a documentary where they're talking to survivors who seem like normal people, just talking about watching their wife or child die and it didn't kill them or they didn't drink it for whatever reason.
I think that, you know, my experience is that there, people who are struggling in life that you might characterize as the great disenfranchised, things aren't going well for them, are available for any story.
Yeah.
And they will jump at it and say, yeah, let's do that, and how can I help? And I guess that's how cults start.
Some people have a void to fill in their brain.
I was just, I've told you before, I'd had several sales jobs in my life, and why didn't I meet these people when I was selling shit? You know, these cult people. And how about four of these?
He can convince 900 people to kill themselves,
right.
And you won't buy a goddamn dictionary?
Oh, they practice killing themselves.
Oh, wow.
This is something they had practiced over and over.
Wow.
That person.
That's...
He got to have met people that you were impressed with, right?
Yeah, and I honestly, I think I got a culty feeling when I went to that Big Sky Bible camp, where ultimately you ended up yelling at the guy, which I was always... Because they scared me. They said my parents were going to go to hell because...
Burn in the lake of fire. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So there was many different variations of burning that would occur. And you don't tell that to a little kid. But this guy, you know, had people waiting on him. He had this daughter that was in a wheelchair that was maybe had MS, but he... didn't even look at her. He would let go of the wheelchair and she'd almost roll off the edge of the stage because he just was... I felt like he kept her around him.
Was that the guy who went medieval on? Is that the guy?
Yeah. It, at that Big Sky Bible camp. It seemed just... And that was just a generically Christian... You know, and they... I've always been attracted to church stuff as a charitable thing. Like in high school, I'd go on those work camp trips. It felt great to go do things.
Yeah. Plus there were cute girls.
And there was cute girls, for God's sake, and free dinner every Wednesday night. How am I going to turn down free dinner? And, but yeah, the power thing that I think it provides religious people as they get higher up, that messes everyone up.
You're talking about the Middle East, aren't you?
Pretty much.
I mean, do you think any of these jihadists are really religious people?
Right.
It's a little hard to believe. It's just me and a mullah. You stand a better chance of having people listen to you and do for you.
Right.
And shoot people for you.
Wow.
I think you've met celebrity types. Are there well-known people that have impressed you? I mean, folks as folks. They're just people.
Sure, sure. That have impressed me with...
Well, this guy impressed me. This guy really impressed me. And I interviewed a lot of people and well-known people. And
mm-hmm.
This guy, Ralph Nader, impressed me. Ralph Nader, when I interviewed him, I thought, I'm wasting this guy's time. He could be doing something important.
In this last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I remember asking him, do you like go to movies and shit?
Do you go to the store and buy shoes?
I really feel...
Do you make sandwiches?
Exactly.
And then eat the sandwich?
And you drive a car. You know, his whole... You know, he generated... He was... At the time I interviewed, he was recruiting Nader's Raiders, they call him, where you'd get attorneys out of law school come to work for him and do consumer advocacy work. And I just remember, I'll talk to you, I'll put it on the air, and we'll just sit down after you address this class. And he was one of the few people I felt like I was wasting his time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do...
I'm just not important enough to be talking to you.
I do like it when famous people that you wouldn't, are charitable and care about other things. Because a lot of people that I know, even if they get a little bit of fame, comics that I know that get a little bit of fame or a part on a show, they immediately turn into... powerful asshole.
Really?
So it's you know, when
I have seen that. Yeah.
You see more impressive, like, people that I wish I knew, but whatever, Matt Damon's or George Clooney's, that really are get passionate about things and use their celebrity in that way to be influential with their causes. I really like that, and it makes me like those people. I'll even watch their movies. I'll watch Bourne Ultimatum or whatever.
Right.
Because I like...
Because he's a good guy. He really is a good guy.
Yeah. I politically like him.
But we've all met strange people. We used to do that golf tournament. Imagine the Crosby Pro-Am doing that on radio.
Oh, yeah. Just audio.
Shit we used to do, yeah. And he's taking the club back, and there it goes, straight down the middle.
If you can only imagine what it looks like. It's a white ball arching through the air.
So you get to run into people. People like Jack Lemmon was a marvelous guy. James Garner was a marvelous guy. Andy Williams was a total dick. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I interviewed Jerry Lewis once. He came by the radio station, and
really?
it was just before Labor Day thing, you know. The,
right.
MS Telethon or MD Muscular Dystrophy, and his handlers came in early, and they said, "We want to get this straight. Don't touch Mr. Lewis." Don't embrace him? No, just don't touch him.
Oh, okay. For God's sake. How are you not going to immediately be someone that thinks he's an asshole interviewing him? Don't they know
exactly
that's what they're doing?
So I said, well, I got to do something. So I had a glass of water there. And he sat down and introduced himself. And I took out my comb and put it in the water and then combed my hair. Because I'd seen him do that.
Right.
And then he laughed real hard and we had a good time.
Oh, okay. And then maybe you were allowed to touch him after that.
Yeah, I suppose we could have kissed.
Oh, that's perfect. Once you show him one of his genius bits, Jerry Lewis, he was known to get naked with people.
Yeah. And one of my other favorite people was Arnold Palmer. What a lovely man.
The famous beverage man.
The famous beverage man. All right. The richest guys in golf currently, I'm a golfer, are Tiger Woods makes more than anybody. Most of it these days off of endorsements.
Sure.
Phil Mickelson is number two. Now, these aren't the one and two golfers. in the world.
They just got the Nike shoes.
That's exactly right. Number three is Arnold.
Same with skateboarding. If you once you have a shoe, people buy shoes, man.
Number three moneymaker is Arnold Palmer.
Really?
He hasn't won a tournament in 30 years.
Is it because he has signatures?
Because he's got his fingers in everything.
Yeah,
and everybody wants to know him.
Yeah.
So anyway, once when you were a baby, I worked at this radio station. We had Arnold Palmer golf tips. Okay? And you, as a, you know, Bob's Laundry and Dry Cleaning was a sponsor of...
And this is on the radio. How
the
hell do you...
So...
You have to show someone how to put your fingers or move your hips or...
That's exactly... one would think.
You're describing it. That's
one
so
would
great.
Think.
That's so...
But there was no internet.
Sure.
Appreciate. So, these tips were... a minute long, 2 minutes long, and then there was a commercial. Well, he happened to be in town, and he agreed that this Bob's Laundry and Dry Cleaning had bought Arnold Palmer golf tips, so he came in to do a promo, and so I wrote down some copy for him that anytime I'm in Contra Costa County, I always go to Bob's Laundry and Dry Cleaning. Right? And we sat down in this little room, Arnold Palmer in that cardigan sweater, this lovely man, and he said he couldn't say Contra Costa County, and we tried it.
He just was unable.
50 times. Oh, I can do this. I can do this. And I said, now, you know, let me change this. Oh, no, I can do this. I can do this. Oh. I sat there, and I remember thinking, this is all Arnold Palmer.
He was just obsessing over...
That's right. We were in this little room. It meant nothing to him. It meant $1.86 to him in his life. And he was going to get this right.
Oh, wow.
So I finally said, you know, let me cross that out. Anytime I'm in the area, I go to Bob's Laundry and Dry.
The area.
The area.
And then he can't say that. Every time I'm in the area. Arnold, actually, we're going to have to do that again, too. And so that's another the example, then, is of a comic being full of themselves when that I got introduced on that Premium Blend show, that D.L. Hughley had some drinks in the green room and said my name wrong. Fairbanks or something, and then he said, whatever. And so I just went out there to my name being mispronounced. So I had to go back the next day and reshoot just me walking out to the microphone, and they had him say it over and over, and he was very annoyed with the fact that he had to do this pickup shot. And then I just...
Gotta sober up Hubley to operate on the kid.
Yeah. So I put my watch on the opposite wrist and didn't put stuff in my hair. So if you watch it, you can see the watch shoot from one wrist to the other and my hair suddenly shrink on that Premium Blend. You really have to be watching for it, though.
Wow.
Wow, that guy was almost in our lane. But yeah, he was...
Bright light.
He couldn't say it. It's funny when people... It's a tongue twister, something that you can say. I, for instance, really have a hard time saying rear view mirror. Rear view mirror. But
yeah, I was trying to think of the words that I can't pronounce. There's a topic. That's a spellbinding topic.
Yes.
This old guy was on
yeah.
a podcast.
He started listing
about
words
that he couldn't pronounce well. Fascinating.
It was. It really had a PBS vibe to it.
Right.
And at the end, he actually fell asleep. You could hear him snoring. He put himself to sleep with his word list. We're getting close to the airport.
We are getting close to the airport. Can you see those planes?
There they are. Wake up, Dad. Wake up. Wake up. Oh, where was that? That was plane sound. Oh, okay. It sounds like your snoring sound effects that you also do.
Yeah, I do those at night really well.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're a regular Michael Winslow.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
He tours comedy clubs incessantly. He's a road comic, clean family guy. I don't know if he's a nice guy or not, but He's certainly...
It's like Impressionists.
He's less funny, I think, than Rich Little, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little funnier. But he's really...
How can anybody be so good at something and not being able to put the other thing, give the other thing...
Because he learned how to do the sound effects. I don't think you can learn to be funny later in life just because you got a role in a police academy. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Yeah. But
do you remember the first time you knew you were a funny person?
Who, me?
You.
No.
Really?
Maybe when I made you and some friends that from work, a bunch of grown-ups laugh.
Oh, right. That's usually what it is.
And, I knew that I was giving little puppet shows, but it wasn't about my puppet work. It was just me saying weird shit. Hiding behind the table. I don't know.
But put that puppet away and zip up your pants.
Do you recall a similar
I do.
Specific?
I was a little kid, and when I was a little kid, back in the 40s, nobody talked to you. Right?
Right.
Your parents didn't talk to you. Occasionally at night they'd say, "Good night, Jimmy." But that was it. I didn't get any hugs. It was rough.
Well, thank you for hugging me all the time.
So I'm riding in this car. and I'm looking up and the windshield's filthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Daddy, could I borrow your knife?" And he said, "Why? Why?" I said, "I'd like to scrape the bird shit off the window." And so these three men in the car just roared. And I thought, there it is.
For God's sake.
I'm not smart. I'm not fast. I'm not tall. But I got that bird shit thing going
right
for me.
That's great.
So, I had to have been a tiny guy.
Yeah, I mean.
But I do remember that, and I say, wow. I've got somebody's ear now. These people actually heard that.
That's funny.
And responded to it.
Well, I never had to fight for your ear.
No.
So you must have learned from that.
I think, I just...
You ended up being...
I like little kids.
Yeah,
you... I think children are as good as people get.
I know. Neither grandparent really gave a shit if I was hanging out.
No.
Not that I'm not glad we didn't move to Missoula, Montana and
right,
give it a
we
shot.
We moved back here. That was one of the main
I didn't
reasons.
Want to grow up in Monterey. What do you do there?
Hello, Mom, Dad, this is your grandson. How are you doing? See ya.
Put him over there by the Christmas tree. Do we have to feed him?
Don't talk.
What does he do?
Are we going to park here?
Yep.
Is this where I get out later? And
no, this is... I'll get out. I'll get... Because the plane ticket is in my name, so I will get on the
okay
plane. You then get into this driver's
you'll
seat.
You'll quit driving.
I will quit. I will cease to be driving because I will be out of the vehicle and on an aeroplane.
Well, thank you for coming to visit, even though it was just a wedding.
I'm going
to... Nothing to do with me.
Next time it'll have everything to do with you.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm going to throw you a wedding. And I'll be back soon, Daddy.
All right, son.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay, where's my bag?
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Oh,
with Karen and Chris.